Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This
7:15 is that time of the week. Cindy's in studio, filling in for Kathleen. Thanks again for doing that.
You're welcome.
Joe's on the phone. Hey, Joe Farini, be sure to mute the TV for this one, okay?
Okay, got it off, actually.
I love that you said that. You really looked at your wife after teaching about marriage, and you said, hey, I'll be watching TV. You just let me know if you need something.
Absolutely. Of course, you can be creative with those two lines. You know, you can say, can I help you in any ways? Now, okay, thanks. I'm going to go ahead and watch TV then. Or you can use a variety of different ways and inflections of your voice. You mean, it goes a long way. But the bottom line is that you want to make sure that at least you've covered yourself by saying, can I help you in any way?
I'll be in the other room. You know, you could say that.
I'll be listening for you. Yeah.
I'll be on the couch. All right, Joe, thanks for your help on that. But we have something else to talk about today. Cindy, what was this question you got?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, this kind of came along the same time of just kind of women doing a lot of the work for Thanksgiving and for Christmas and things like that. But the person asked this question. I know as a wife I should let my husband lead, but some of the things I do seem like it should be his job or his responsibility. I'm okay doing it, but should I be? He seems okay with it too. Is it a matter of leading or going with each other's strengths? I'm a bit confused.
Great question, especially for a newly married couple.
Absolutely. And actually, Ryan, this actually goes with what we were just talking about, watching TV or helping your wife. Because, I mean, the short answer to this one is pretty easy. I mean, it really depends what we're talking about here. I mean, for example, I mean, you don't want to ask me to pick out your clothes for the day or your wardrobe in general, right? Nor do you want to be dependent on me for cooking all day. So it's sort of like, you know, can I help you, you know, decorate the house? You don't want me to do that. So you want to go with your strengths on this one, right? So just, you have to use some common sense on this. I think I remember hearing you saying that Sarah's the one that does the checkbook, and that's probably because she's really good at numbers and details and things like that.
Oh, she's great with all that. She does all of our finances. In fact, there was a period of years where I didn't even know how to get into the app for our bank account. I didn't know anything about our money. I fixed that because that's a bit extreme. But yeah, she does the finances, and I don't feel like I'm less of a biblical man because of it. I just think I'm smart.
Well, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I think, you know, the origin of this question really comes back to a general misunderstanding of headship. You know, in Ephesians 5:23, it says, for the husband is to be the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. And, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, what does it mean when it says that the husband is to be the head of the wife? And we need to understand that headship is all about responsibility. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you do around the house. It has nothing to do with being a supreme dictator of that relationship or male dominance or being a bully or a boss. But rather, headship here is a God-ordained function that God has entrusted to the husband. And it's not based upon superior abilities, but rather on divine placement.
Well, Joe, if Christ is the model, his leadership was servant leadership. It wasn't dictatorial or something strange like that. And so, I mean, I feel bad when I hear people not totally understanding this. I think it's freeing to realize that it's not as kind of, I don't know, as extreme as so many people make it. Right, Cindy?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Right. And I feel like, you know, we take it out of context a lot. And so I feel like there's kind of two ways to look at it. One of the ways is just what are you good at? You know, what are your strengths? What are you good at? And then you have a compromise within your marriage of what each of you can do to make the marriage, make the household run smoothly. And I just don't think that, you know, we have to have a list that says this is what she does and this is what he does. I think we can do either or. And you know what? There may come a time in our life where one of us is left alone. We're going to be doing both lists, you know? So I think it's great. I love when Joe just does something that is normally maybe what I do. And I think he appreciates it when I do something that he normally does. And I just sort of, one of us picks up the slack.
What do you say to a couple that has a hard time doing things together? It took Sarah and I years to figure out how to work together. We would do things separately because we didn't want to fight. Because we do things so differently.
Yeah. Do you want to answer that, Joe?
Yeah, I can start off with that one. I mean, I would just go back to our original question here. I mean, I think what we need to do is three basic steps, and Cindy nailed it for the first one anyways, and that is to, number one, discover your strengths. Number two, then be willing to serve one another as each of you carry out those strengths. And then to give thanks to each other for being faithful to carrying out those strengths. And in essence, another way of saying this is that we need to become good students of our spouse. And as we do that, we're going to be in a much better position to really serve one another and appreciate one another. But it comes down to recognizing that some folks are just better at other things than other folks. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's actually a very good thing.
Yeah. And something I think I would add to that, Joe, too, is, you know, we need to, along the way, sort of come up with compromises, whether it's who does what or compromising how you look at things or plan things or do things. But also, one would be like, don't be lazy. You know, just mm-hmm. because your wife can do three things and there's one thing that maybe you're good at, but she's good at three things, don't just sit back and say, well, I'll just let her do it. What can you do to participate in helping her, or vice versa? I'm looking at it from
I think that's great advice though, Cindy, because I think Joe can probably connect with me on this, in that I married a very strong woman. And I got into the bad habit after a while of waiting around for her to ask me to do something
mm-hmm.
because she seemed like she had it all under control, you know? And that did not go well for us. She's like, what am I, your mom? I'm going to ask you to do something, Brian? Do it.
Yeah.
If you see it needs to get done, get it done. And I learned that the hard way, Joe.
Sure. Well, mm-hmm. and then I think we have to recognize, though, sometimes, and Joe and I went through this earlier in our marriage, sometimes he doesn't see it. Not because he's not looking for it.
Yeah.
It's not on his radar. And it's something that's always on my radar. I'm always thinking about it, something I'm always doing. So as a wife, if you have something that you want for your husband to do, in a loving, kind way, ask him to participate and help you.
Yeah, because he probably doesn't know it's there, right? Right, Joe?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not the only one on this.
Oh, absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. And we do need our wives to help us to understand and see those things that are obvious to them, but not obvious to us.
That's right.
And you know, unless we are talking with one another and discussing these things, you're just going to miss it. And you're just going to get deeper and deeper in a hole.
And I think it goes both ways, too. You know, it's not just the guy's not paying attention, and so the woman is going to get all upset about it. It goes both ways.
Sure.
Like, I think I really need to be attentive to things that Joe does and then participate with him. And you know what? When we do it that way, I just feel like it's a happier marriage.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like you learn this dance. And if you watch on shows like, you know, Dancing with the Stars, and you watch their practice, they're stepping on each other's toes. They're falling all over the floor. They don't know what they're doing. But boy, when they get to the competition time, they have it nailed. And I think that's what we have to look at and say, to this couple here, say, you know what? Begin to learn the dance. What is the dance that the two of you can do that make you both look good, that make you both, you know, have a dance that looks like it's flowing and it's working well? And you know what? What we do, what Joe and I do, or Brian, what you and Sarah do, it's going to be different for every couple. And
that's
so
right.
Learn the dance for yourself and figure out how that works.
And when the work's done, grab the remote, watch some TV, right, Joe?
There you go. Absolutely.
And again, we're grateful to Joe and Cindy Farini for their weekly segment each Monday this half hour, My Marriage Matters. Cindy, if folks want to learn more on this or they want to get connected to you guys, how do they do it?
Well, we have the question there today. They can go to My Marriage Matters. So get a little review here of what we talked about. And tomorrow we'll air the audio of this program, so check tomorrow at My Marriage Matters on Facebook. Or if you want to ask a question or just be in touch with us, come to our website at joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you, bro.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Take care.